proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast. The prophetic books of the Old Testament contained a number of references to both the person and the work of the coming Messiah. Over the course of this series, we will consider the significance of those revelations which God gave to the prophets. In this session, we will study the Messiah's virgin birth. The 7th chapter of Isaiah contained a passage relating to the subject. God had sent the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz of Judah. God made an offer for Ahaz and confirmed that offer by asking the king for a sign. When that monarch refused God's request, God bestowed a sign upon him, designated not just for Ahaz himself, but for the house of David. Quote, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Hebrew, by the way, the name Emmanuel means God with us. Some commentators have believed that the son in question was an allusion to Isaiah's younger child, a child whose birth was portrayed in Isaiah chapter 8. Some of these same people also argue that the term virgin in Isaiah 7 should actually be translated as young woman. Both interpretations fail to take into account the supernatural implications of Isaiah's pronouncement. The prophet referred to Ahaz receiving a sign from God, a sign which would be extended to the house of David. The Hebrew noun translated as sign is the word eth. It denoted a miraculous or supernatural event, one designed to manifest divine power. Absolutely no one would regard a young woman conceiving or bearing a son as something unusual. That event happens on a regular basis. Furthermore, God intended this sign for the entire house of David, not for King Ahaz alone. The sign in question did not consist of thwarting the confederacy formed against that Judean king. After all, other alliances against the Jewish nations had formed and failed, without any divine signs accompanying those circumstances. Then another linguistic problem arises when arguing that Isaiah's declaration referred to a young woman rather than a virgin. This can be resolved by looking at the Hebrew language. Hebrew has two nouns that can denote the term virgin. One of these, Bethula, referred to a young woman who might or might not be a virgin. Thus, the author of Genesis chapter 24 described Rebekah as a virgin, this being before her marriage to Isaac. However, the author of Genesis 24 qualified his statement by noting that, quote, "neither had any man known her," unquote. Thus, Bethula, one word for virgin, can mean a young woman. On the other hand, you have the word Alma, the word used in Isaiah chapter 7. The word Alma denoted a virgin and only a virgin. Also, we have the New Testament witness. Matthew pointed to Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He wrote, quote, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," unquote. In the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, Mary asked Gabriel how she could bear a child since she was a virgin. That angel replied, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God," unquote. Thus the virgin birth prophesied in Isaiah 7 came to pass in the New Testament. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.